Sometimes we just need some simplicity, and sometimes that simplicity is when we think about what should I do and what should I do with my life and how, you know, all that stuff. Sometimes the simplicity is just simply going, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Wherever I go, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We're in this series called The E Word. We've been in it for a few weeks. And obviously, if you're new here and you're wondering, okay, E Word, well, that must be like a bad word if you're mentioning it like the E Word. Well, the E Word is this word, evangelism. Now, if you've been a Christ follower for a long time, you've been growing up in church, you probably may have heard this word. And when I use the word evangelism, maybe it kind of like makes you feel a little tense. Maybe it feels a little weird, don't really know what to do with it. And those of you who are new and just walking through the door, you're probably like, I don't even know what the word evangelism means. It basically means, you know, to share with other people the incredible news about Jesus Christ. And that may even make you feel like sharing, you know, Jesus Christ to somebody may make you feel a little bit, you know, tense or feel a little bit awkward or uneased. But the word comes from a Greek word back in the first century. The New Testament, which is part of our scripture, which is 27 books, were written in Greek because that was the common language when they were written around the Roman Empire. And this word evangelism comes from this Greek word, euangelion. It's kind of two words kind of mashed into one. You is good. Angelion means news or message. Angel, angel. Okay, that's where kind of that word has it. Good news, good message. Angel means messenger or message. So it's a good message. It's good news. And so what we've been wanting to do is kind of recapture the beauty of good news. If it's good news, it's good. It should make us feel, you know, excited. It makes us feel free and refreshed rather than kind of leery or stressed or tense on this whole word of good news or evangelism. So what we wanted to do is just kind of go back into rethinking about this good news. And so the first week we talked about the good news and what is the good news. Ultimately, the good news is all of us in this room, we're all so imperfect. We're so imperfect. Every day is almost a mark that shows us our imperfection, the way that we treat people, the things that we get distracted about and so on and so forth, or even some of the things that we've done in our past. We've messed up every single one of us in here. But the good news is that God loves us. He knows all that. He knows all the things about us better than anybody. He knows all the things that we forget. He knows them. But the good news is he loves us. Loves us so much that he came into our world. He didn't have to do that. There's no upgrade for him to become a man. That's a downgrade. He's God of the universe. But he became one of us. Why? Because he loves us. It's good news. He came into this world and he died sacrificially. So that way he would himself pay the penalty for our mess ups, our screw ups, which is amazing. Think about it. That's really, really good. And through our trusting in him, putting our faith in him and reconciling that relationship with him, we have a relationship with him forever. And not only that, but he loves us forever. That's good news. You know, one of the things that maybe if you have kids, you've ever, you know, thought about your kids and go, oh, you know what? We need to go to this third world country so that way you guys know how good you got it. You don't know how good you have it. Well, us as Christ followers, sometimes we forget how good we really have it. You are loved by God. Tomorrow, you are loved by God. Tuesday, you are loved by God forever. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's wise and he's good. And he wants to lead you into understanding who he is, what life is all about and how to live this life and how to love other people well. That's good stuff. Paul said it best, to live is Christ, to die is gain. To live means fruitful labor. It means, man, I have a purpose to live for, a purpose. You have a purpose to live for God that has implications and impact in other people's lives that last forever. That's pretty good, isn't it? Not only that, but today, if for some reason God calls you home today, guess what? You will be in a better place than you are right now. No matter how good you have it right now, you're going to somewhere better. We have it that good. So sometimes as Christ followers, we just kind of need to take a step back and kind of go, man, we have it good. And then last week, Pastor Nate talked about how, you know, it's good for us to share this good news, that this good news came to us from somebody who's impacted by this good news. And so this good news is that, you know, that God calls us to share this good news with other people. I always thought it was kind of interesting. It was like, well, why doesn't God just share the good news with everybody himself? Why does he call us, you and I, to do this? Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. One is that we get to remember how this good news has impacted us. Two, there's something really kind of special when we share something special to us, to somebody else in our lives. And three, I think one of the coolest things about it is, I think the reason why he calls us to do this is because to reconcile our heart with people who are far from God, to become like Christ. That sometimes when, you know, we tend to look at other people and we're going, man, they're far from God. They're messed up. They should be doing this. They're not doing that. That makes me mad. It gets me angry. But then we remember, if we remember the good news, that we were all once far away from God as well, and that he loved us and he stepped into our world and reconciled the relationship that we broke with him. And there's something about that he's left us to go and share that with other people for us to learn what it means to love other people. Okay, and love them dearly in order to bring them back into that relationship with God. Well, today we're going to begin to talk about, well, how do you begin to have influence in other people's lives? Okay, how do you go and help people to see and understand and experience and hear the amazing message of Jesus Christ? And so first and foremost, I want us to kind of bring us back to the basics. And the first thing that we said was this: the good news is Jesus himself. The good news is Jesus himself. That for us, the good news is not eternal life. The good news is life lived with Jesus eternally. Okay? The good news is not trying to leverage God in order to make him do what I want him to do on this earth. We mess that stuff up. The good news is that God reorients our lives and our priorities to something bigger and better and more beautiful, which is a relationship with him. Everything that we've been looking for in this life is ultimately finds its kernel, its core of being loved. And when we enter into that relationship with Jesus and we allow him to love us, we are filled. That's the good news. You are loved. But here's the thing. The best way to influence other people is to be good news ourselves. In fact, all throughout Scripture, what we see is what God is doing in our lives is molding us into the image of Jesus Christ, to become like Jesus. Jesus didn't just proclaim good news. He was good news. He was good news in the way that he treated people, the way that he healed people, the way that he walked with people. He was good news in the way that he sacrificed his life for people. It wasn't just this proclamation. This wasn't just this, you know, this miracle-making type of thing that he did. It was at the very core a man of character and integrity who gave his life out of love. And so God is calling us to be people who reflect Jesus Christ into this world, that we don't just share good news, proclaim it, that we are good news, that when people see us and when we come amongst them, they have a smile on their face. There's something about us that they go, man, they are good news. I think the best way to have influence is to be good news. And the best way to be a person of good news, ultimately, is to be a person of trust. Ultimately, is to be a person of trust. One of the things I think about when I think about Jesus Christ is you don't find a person who's more trustworthy than Jesus. Anybody who's willing to mend a broken relationship like he has with us shows that a person's trustworthy. Anybody willing to sacrifice and die for us shows that he's trustworthy. I may not, you know, necessarily trust and have issues with some of the things that he says or some of the things that he's demanding of me. But even in those moments when I'm like struggling with those things, I can trace back my heart back to his heart. That here is a man who wants only the best for me. He sacrificed his life for me. That shows me that he's a person of trust. In fact, Paul wrote in Romans, don't you know that it's God's kindness that leads to repentance, that leads to life change? That it's trust. His kindness, his goodness, his wisdom, his actions, his death, burial, resurrection creates trust. And ultimately, that's what brings our heart to him. If our hearts are apart from him, it's usually we have trust issues with him. But more we understand who he is and what he's about and why he and how much he loves us from his perspective, then we began to gain trust or with him. But that's the same thing with us. God has always desired for us to have influence in the way that we build trust with other people. That people would see us and they go, you know what? I trust them, you know, and that's kind of hard and that's kind of difficult because in our culture today, a lot of people don't trust us. Or I should really say, if I could put it more succinctly, doesn't trust what they think of Christianity in the local church. There's so many just different, you know, news articles, things in the news about infidelity, sexual abuse, you know, pastors who are like worth like $700 million, live in a $7 million house, and they get a pastoral tax credit for living in a $7 million house. And people hear about all this and they know about all it, and you probably know some of it, and you kind of think, ugh, that makes me sick. That's gross. There's no trust in that. But here's the good news, though. Here's the good news about that. The good news is a couple of things. Number one is, and I just want to encourage you, man, there's pastors all around the country. There's churches all around the country made up of people who really do love Jesus. Humble people who just shepherd a flock and care for their flock and desire for their people to know Jesus and to build a life around trusting in Jesus Christ and experiencing that intimacy and that relationship with him. They're all over the place. Unfortunately, there's a lot of big ones that make it into the media that makes us sometimes think that it's everywhere. It's not everywhere. But even still, here's the good news even beyond that, is there was a study that I read just this week that was done by Arizona State University Psychology Department, not necessarily a Christian-friendly organization, right? A state university in the psychology department. But they did this research, and they found something that was really fascinating to them. But if you've been a Christ follower long enough and been around other Christ followers, I think it kind of seems a little bit more like common sense, that people in general trust religious people more than non-religious people. I'm talking about all across the board. Even non-religious people tend to trust religious people more than non-religious people. Now, has absolutely nothing to do, one of the things they found from their studies had nothing to do about with beliefs. You know what it had to do with? With the behaviors of the people that they knew who are religious. And they just found that there was something about religious people who had a different kind of behavior that was trustworthy. So individually, you guys have an amazing amount of influence in the lives of the people that you do life with. They may not trust the organizational piece of it, but they do trust you when you follow Christ and you are a person who's trustworthy. And ultimately, it makes sense. Usually people who lean into the Lord, want to know God and trust him, tend to desire to live a life that, you know, that he desires and that they find out is wise and good and has influence in the lives of coworkers, family members, neighbors, friends, and people like that. So in a lot of ways, what we really kind of want to do here at River Run is, obviously, you know, we desire to have influence as a local church body, but ultimately my heart, my goal is that we would have influence based on individual people who are just trusting Jesus. We're not people here that we're just going to trust in lights, camera, action. We're not going to be people here who are going to trust in some lead pastor. We're not going to be a person who, you know, people who just trust our programs and stuff in order to share the good news with Jesus Christ, because it's not working really well, guys. It's really not working well. The more that we do it, the more I feel like we're losing more and more trust, you know, in our culture. And so it's time for us to go back and to learn how God influences and how they influence in the first century, because this has been going on for 2,000 years. It's been changing people's lives all around the world. When we live our lives in a way that has influence, but it reflects not the influence of man, but the influence of our good and gracious, amazingly good God. Paul wrote a letter to a guy named Timothy. So he was kind of mentoring him, Timothy was just a godly young man who was having a lot of influence. But what we see in just a little passage here is how Paul basically says to Timothy, this is how I want you to influence. And this is what he says in 1 Timothy 2:1. I urge you, Timothy, first of all, more than anything else, number one, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them, whoever them are, all people. And it's interesting because, you know, he's not saying here, Timothy, go and work on your communication skills. Timothy, work on your wardrobe and what you're wearing. Timothy, go do this new thing and this new fad to grab a crowd. He says, no. First of all, more than anything, Timothy, more than change your heart. Instead of seeing people who are far from God as annoying or to serve your thing or whatever that may be, just pray for them. Just pray for them. you know, pray for all people and ask God that God would be the one that helps them, you know? And I'm sure Paul was really good with telling Timothy, Timothy, you're not the Messiah. Your job is just to encourage people to go and follow the Messiah. Ask the Messiah to change their lives. Intercede on their behalf and give them thanks for them. And he goes on verse 2 and he says, pray this way for kings and all who are in authority. Why? So we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. The influence of the way that God influences is people who live quiet, peaceful lives whose goal in life is just to honor God, by which their lives are just marked by godliness and dignity. And he says, this is good. He goes on, verse 3, he says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who what? Wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. I love that, because what you kind of see here is this whole idea of not whiz bang, you know, impressive and all that sort of stuff. He says, God wants everybody to be saved. So the way that you do that is you pray for all people that God would help them, give thanks for them, pray for them so you can live a quiet, peaceful lives by is marked by dignity and godliness, by which that is what influences the world. And so the way that we then begin to kind of think about it as Christ followers, if you're a Christ follower here, is how do we become people of trust? Is it, do we do it by, you know, behaving better? You know, a lot of times as Christians, we really kind of get stuck in this thing. Well, the way that we build trust is that we live this perfect lifestyle. Maybe, you know, 50, 60 years ago, it was, you know, that you were morally perfect and you did everything right, even though people who really knew you knew something different. Now it's branding and marketing and messaging. It's still all peripheral. But really what God's calling us to do is something that is that works in works in us, deep within us. That really ultimately what God wants us to, how he wants us to have influence with trust, is that we become people of trust when we trust Jesus. How do I build trust with people? Just trust Jesus. Well, wait a minute, give me the method. No. Learn to trust Jesus. You learn to trust Jesus, you'll just start being a trustworthy person. It's just organic. It's just the way that the kingdom of God kind of works. Is, you know, sometimes we think, you know, what's the biggest way I can have the biggest impact in this world? You know what's the biggest way that you can have the biggest impact in this world? Trust Jesus. Just trust Jesus. Learn to trust Jesus. Learn, what does that mean with your marriage? Learn, what does it mean as a parent? Learn, what does it mean to trust Jesus when you get looked over at something at work? What does it mean, you know, when you have conflict, to trust Jesus? What does it mean when you're dealing with some financial things, about trust Jesus? You do this, we will find a way that God begins to work in our lives that boldens us, strengthens us, that not only is a blessing to us, but then we become trustworthy people. Rather than trying to manipulate it, politicize it, game it, or anything like this, we just trust Jesus. Now, this isn't my message. This is what Jesus said. In fact, if you ever kind of wondered about your life, what should I do with my life? How should I live my life? You know, what does God want from me? Jesus gives you a really basic, simple answer to that. Okay, it's layered, but it's very simple. In John 6, 28 and 29, a couple of people came up to Jesus, a few people came up to Jesus, and they said to him, we want to perform God's works too, okay? What should we do? What are the works that God wants us to do, okay? God, what do you want me to do? Well, this is how Jesus answered them, and I think it's the same way he would answer us. Jesus told them, this is the only work. This is it. This is all. If you can't figure anything out, just do this one thing. This is the only word that God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. Trust in the one he has sent. That's it. I always say, you know, when I'm trying to figure out, when I don't know what to do, you know, there are times in my life I go like, you know, I really don't know what you want me to do, God. I always try to default to doing the things that I do know what I should do. Okay? There are certain things that, even though we may not know what action to take, there are certain things that we know to do. And in those moments, I learned that, hey, you know what? I know what I need to do. If I don't know what to do, is I just need to trust you, Lord. And I recognize that you have two commandments. You make it very simple for me. To love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. And I'm going to come in contact with people today. And you command me to love them with all of my heart and to trust you in those relationships. So even if I don't know what those actions are, I do know the common kind of foundation that God has called me to, and that is trust me. Trust me even when you don't know exactly what to do right now. And then just love. Love me in the way that you trust me, and go and love and serve the people that you are with. Now, one of the things that we see throughout Scripture when it talks about how do we then begin to build this trust, okay? Because this trust is very, very, very important. Trust in the Lord is our superhero, thing that we have going on as Christ followers, is our trust in a good and amazing good God. When we don't trust in him, okay, and we put trust in other things is like our kryptonite. It's what begins to create anxiousness, depression, where we press on things or we hide from things. It ruins our relationships. It makes a mess of everything. When we begin to trust in anything besides the Lord, we make a mess of stuff. Instead of being a blessing to the world, we become a curse. And not only that, but we become a curse to ourselves. The prophet Jeremiah kind of put it this way, and we're going to look at a little passage here in Jeremiah chapter 17. So if you want to open up your Bibles, we're going to camp here for a little bit here. It's in Jeremiah chapter 17, and this is what the prophet Jeremiah said. This is what the Lord says. So he's just quoting the Lord here. Cursed. That's pretty strong language here. Cursed are those who what? Who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. Now, this is very important because sometimes what we tend to kind of change this verse up is we tend to think that, God is just a self-centered God and he doesn't want me to trust in myself and trust in any other people. And so he's going to make my life miserable. That's what that verse means, doesn't it? No, we make our life miserable when we put our trust in the wrong place. Okay, that's where we get messed up. So the prophet is graciously trying to tell people that, man, we mess things up when we put our trust in the wrong place. And people are the wrong place. Why? Because all of us are imperfect. All of us are, struggling with mixed motives and things like that in life. All of us do not have an eternal perspective, none of us have an eternal, perspective. And all of us, don't know everything. Only God does. And so the prophet is saying the curse is when we put our heart and our mind into somebody else. So we put our heart and our trust in a relationship and they let us down or they pass away before us. And we're wrecked and we can no longer move because we have put all of our life, significance, meaning, purpose, nurturing from that relationship. We put it in other things like, our leaders, political leaders, and, they screw things up and we get all mad and frustrated in our life. We're a stressful mess and we can't operate anymore because we put our hopes and desires and dreams in that leader being our Messiah for us. We become a mess. It's just who we are. History shows it that way. It's not just something that's unique to us in the 21st century. It's something that's been going on since the beginning of time. Really, what we find here is the prophet is just saying, hey, you know what? Cursed is the one who puts their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord because they are like, he goes on in verse 6, because they are like, go ahead, switch over. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert. They shrivel. They're small. They are parched, who with no hope for the future. Everything's desolate. There's no hope. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. In other words, what he's saying is that when we put our trust in human beings and human strength, ours or in other people, we will begin to slowly die inwardly. And that's honestly, that's what we feel. When we feel anxious and depressed and sad and feeling hopeless, all of those things is somewhere along the line, we have bought into believing that human beings are where we need to put our trust in. And they fail us, or we fail ourselves, right? And then we just feel a mess. But there's good news. Thank goodness. The prophet said this, but blessed are those who what? Who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. So the prophet is saying this. He's saying, man, those who flourish, those who have peace, those who rejoice, found the secret sauce of life. And the secret sauce of life is just simply putting our trust in the Lord. God, you are good. God, you're better than anybody who's ever been good to me, even on this planet. That God, even if somebody does something bad to me, you are still good to me. That God, even through the economic problems in my life, you still walk with me. You're still so good. I still have eternal life. You're so, so good. It fills our heart. In fact, Paul wrote a letter. And he wrote a letter to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 3. I encourage you guys to go read it some other time. But Paul basically said this to the people of Ephesus, Christ followers like you and me. He said, man, I get on my knees and I pray before the Lord, you know, that you would be strengthened in your inner man by the Spirit of God, that you would lay your roots deep into Christ so that you, along with all people, would know how wide and how deep and how high is the love of God. Then you will be strengthened, filled to all completion. Filled to all completion is found in our roots going deep into Jesus Christ and into his love, getting our nutrients, our nourishment, not from the things of this world, not from the news media, but from God himself, Jesus Christ and his love for us. In fact, that's exactly what the prophet says here. He goes on and he says this, and he says, they who put their hope and their confidence in the Lord, they're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into this water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. So let's camp on this for a second here. What he's saying here is when we lay our roots down into the love of God, it's like a tree right by a riverbank. Everything else can be going to hell in a handbag. There could be drought all around us. People could be putting trust in all sorts of things of this world and all sorts of, you know, their own power, their own this, and they're making a mess of all of this. Everything can be going chaotic all around us. But the picture is that even though there's drought around us and drought there, we can still flourish. And he says, well, how do you do that? Well, he didn't say, well, you know what? Pray to God that he'll give you more money. Pray to God that he'll fix your partner. Pray to God that he'll change your boss and give you a raise. None of that, because none of those things really ultimately even nourish us anyways. We get a little bit of like a excitement. It's kind of cool, right? But it doesn't fulfill us totally. Only knowing how deeply loved we are by God and living and accepting and feeding off that love every single day. It's like a tree planted by the riverside. Its roots grow deep. What do roots do? Roots do two things. One is for nutrients, just, you know? So no matter what's going on, I'm good. Why? Because I'm loved. As Paul said, to live is Christ. I have purpose and meaning in life no matter what's happening. But also I'm fed by the fact that I'm loved by God for all eternity, that I'm eternal. The other aspect of what roots do is they make you strong. So they give you a sense of strength. So no matter what happens around us, when we put our trust in the Lord, we become strong because we're no longer putting our trust in the things of this world that's always backwards and forwards and it's here today, gone tomorrow, and it shifts and changes. But God is always the same and is always loves us every single day. That's where we put our trust in, and that's where we grow strong into a big tree, you know? And I love this. Because their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. So what does this mean about influence? So we're talking about the E word and being good news. So what does this mean about influence? Now, this is very important. Think about it. When we trust in the Lord, our roots grow deep. We become a tree. We get stronger and stronger and stronger. And here comes this tree with all of these leaves all around the place. And then it begins to have fruit in it. And as your life is strengthening in the Lord, guess what happens with all the people who are living in the drought? Who are trying to find love in all the wrong places, significance in all the wrong places. Guess what they do? They look and they go, wait a minute. I'm hot, I'm parched, I'm tired, I'm worn out. and I see a tree over there that's flourishing. There's shade in that tree. I'm hot. I need respite. And people begin to go to people. We do this. We go to people that we sit there and we go, they just always seem at peace. They deal with the same hard stuff as I do. But there's something different about them. They're always so good and they're always so kind. I want to spend more time with them, right? Don't we do that? So it's the same thing with talking about this whole idea with this tree, of this, that when we become like this tree, we're just trusting the Lord, people just come. And you know what we do? We just say, just rest in the trees. I'm here with you. Take the fruit and experience the fruit that I have, that God is producing in me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control, all the things that bring us life. And then you know what we do with that? Guess what we do? We just say, hey, you know what? If you leave my tree and you leave this area, you're gonna get hungry again. You wanna know how you can never be hungry ever again? Begin to put down the roots in your heart into Jesus Christ, the living water, and allow him to love you. The good news is God loves you. You don't have to keep trying on your own. You don't have to try to make this life work on your own. You don't have to feel this emptiness. You don't have to go through life feeling like there's no meaning. You don't have to go through life worrying that this is all there is or being separated from God for all eternity. All you need to do is simply accept the love that God has for you in Christ Jesus and lay down your roots in him. It's all we do. So as Christ followers, in our way that we influence, the best way that we influence is really not really trying to influence, really. It's just trying to trust God more and filling it, letting him strengthen our lives as we lay our roots down in his love. And then we just go and we love and serve people with the tree that he's making us to be. And then we tell a fellow sojourner who's parched and worn out where they can find living water. No pressure. That's just what we do. What God's been doing for 2,000 years around this planet. It's amazing. But here's the thing that I don't want us to leave with, though. Sometimes in our lives, when it comes to influence and things like that, our heart wants to take credit. Our heart wants to get prideful, and we get spiritually prideful. But I think that that's the reason why God knows us. That's the reason why the prophet said this at this next verse. Right after all of this, he says this: the human heart is the most deceitful of all things, desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Okay? And he said, that's depressing. Well, it kind of is. But here's the good news about that, though. The good news is God still loves us. And the good news is, instead of trying to operate by our own deceitful heart, you know, we begin to just operate out of, God, you know my heart. Fill it with your love. Fill it with your love. Fill it with your love. Fill it with your wisdom. Fill it with your knowledge. Fill it with your strength. So that I can be, as the prophet Isaiah says, the sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. Let me just be a person that you use to sustain the weary. But God, I cannot do that in part from you, because I know my own heart. I want my heart just to rest in you. And so what I want us to do is we're going to sing a song here. And I want us just to kind of reflect on that a little bit. You know, that idea that the best way that you can have influence is really not really to be consumed about influence. The best way to have influence, ironically enough, which is kind of weird, it's kind of the way the kingdom of God works anyways. It's kind of funny. It works very different than we think. The best way to live life is just simply to go, God, I just want to be loved by you. I just want to know you. I just want to understand you. And God, as you're moving in my heart, then I just want to go and I want to love and serve other people the way that you have loved and served me. Not because they're a program, not because I want something from them, but I just want to love them the way that you have loved me. So as we sing this song, I just want you to kind of allow God just to kind of work that in your heart, speak that, you know, pray that to him. And again, just begin to really lay those roots deep into him. Let's pray and then let's sing. Father, we gather together because Well, some of us came here because we had to. Some of us came here because it's been a really long week and we feel worn out and we feel tired. Some of us came here because we're so grateful for you and what you've done in our lives. But no matter, you know, our journeys or why we're here, we're all the same in the sense that we need you. You are our nourishment. You are the only one who can satisfy us and satisfy the longing and the desires of our heart. You're the only one who can fill our heart. So I ask, God, that you would just remind us through your Spirit how deeply and profoundly you love us. And Father, I just ask that as you just begin to strengthen our hearts and our minds and our lives, that our lives would just, our little light of ours, which is really your light that has just been lit within our own heart, would just shine and give comfort to people, give clarity to people. I pray that we would just grow as trees just so that the weary and the worn out can find a place of rest and restoration. And that they can find the living water that we have experienced, God. So Father, I just ask that your Spirit would just speak into our heart as we kind of contemplate and think about those things. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.